Sorry to keep you waiting. So I got your test results back. There's a lot to take in. A lot to take in here. So we'll start with the full report, and then we'll look closer at the details. But I got to tell you, it's very common when we talk about your condition to experience fear. To have fear when we talk about your condition. But I promise it will be okay. We have a treatment that is 100% effective if you choose to believe it. If you choose faith over fear, you will be just fine. Your report comes from God's word, so if you're able, if you'd stand, I will read it for us. Our reading today is from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We start at verse 50, 1 Corinthians 15. Our physical bodies cannot inherit the kingdom of God. These dying bodies cannot inherit what will last forever. But let me reveal to you a wonderful secret. We will not all die, but we will all be transformed. It will happen in a moment, in the blink of an eye, when the last trumpet is blown. For when the trumpet sounds, those who have died will be raised to life forever. And we who are living will also be transformed. For our dying bodies must be transformed into bodies that will never die. Our mortal bodies must be transformed into immortal bodies. Then, when our dying bodies have been transformed into bodies that will never die, this scripture will be fulfilled. Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? For sin is the sting that results in death, and the law gives sin its power. But thank God, he gives us victory over sin and death through our Lord Jesus Christ. So, my dear brothers and sisters, be strong and immovable. Always work enthusiastically for the Lord, for you know that nothing you do for the Lord is ever useless. This is God's word that gives hope to God's people. May it do so today. You can be seated. I'm all for committing, but this is really hot, so take it off. So this report is true for all of us, so we're going to review your diagnosis, talk about the symptoms, what caused this condition. We're going to look at some of the risk factors, talk about the treatment that guarantees healing, and then we'll see how to live with this condition. And the Apostle Paul originally gave this report to the people in Corinth where he had planted a church. You could go see Corinth today, and if you take a cruise there, your cruise ship would be pulled through the Corinth Canal by a tugboat. It'd be pretty cool, wouldn't it? So Paul left Corinth to plant and nurture other churches, and once he did, the Corinthians began to neglect their spiritual health. They stopped ingesting truth, and they got caught up in unhealthy thinking and behaviors. And so Paul wrote this letter and this truth to them to remind them of what's eternal and how that should shape their lives. And so this diagnosis and treatment that Paul gave to the Corinthians, it is accurate for us today. It is effective for us today. So let's receive it and let's apply it to our lives today. Let's pray. God, we thank you for your word that is true, that is powerful, that is the hope of a living Savior. So help us to know that truth today and put our trust in it. Would you use me in spite of me? Would you just help us to see Jesus above all else? And it's in his name all the church said, amen. Amen. Okay, are you ready for your diagnosis? It's hard to hear, but I remind you, we have a treatment that guarantees effectiveness over the condition. Are you ready? The condition for you, and you, and you, and you, and me, our condition. Here's the diagnosis. Everyone is mortal. We all have the condition of mortality, and we live in temporary bodies. We read 1 Corinthians 15, verse 50 says, these dying bodies cannot inherit what will last forever. And I know, it's hard to hear that. But at least you're not alone. Look to the person to your right. Look to the person to your left. Most of you didn't actually look at them. That's okay. Look at me. You are not alone. We all face the condition of mortality. This diagnosis is true for all of us. In our sermon series, Faith Over Fear, today we look at the fear of death, which we will all face. Death is inevitable because we are mortal. So what does that mean? What are the symptoms of mortality? Verse 56 says, sin is the sting that results in death. So that means everybody with a condition of mortality will face a sting and will face death. Have you ever been stung by a bee? It hurts, right? It causes a pain that you have to deal with it. Right? The stinger can get stuck under your skin and you have to address it. And it can make you sick, it can affect your overall health, like this poor fella. But the sting we experience in this life is the longing for wrongs to be made right. Because of our condition, we know that there are things in this life that should be made right, right? We long for all that's broken to be whole. Our mortal bodies have that longing. Romans 8 says, creation looks forward to the day when it will join God's children in glorious freedom from death and decay. So the sting of mortality is knowing that things just aren't the way they should be. That's the sting of living in mortality. The second symptom of mortality is death. Again, sin is the sting that results in death. This symptom does not need much explanation. It is the universal experience. All mortals will face death. So why? Why does death exist? What's the cause of death? Again, sin is the sting that results in death. So the reason death exists, the cause of death, is sin. And unfortunately, sin is an inherited condition. Romans again says, when Adam sinned, sin entered the world. Adam's sin brought death, so death spread to everyone, for everyone sinned. So a really good question to ask when we read that is, well, who's Adam? And what does old boy stuff have to do with me? Why does he affect me? So Adam is the first man that God created. And Adam was with Eve, the first woman God created. And they lived in God's creation that was good. Sin did not exist. Therefore, death did not exist. And the fear of death did not exist. But the devil snuck sin into the world. He caused Adam and Eve to doubt God, and fear became their companion. They chose their temporary feelings over a relationship with God, and this caused them to be separated from God. So that means sin is separation from God. That means anything that you think about or do that leads you further away from God, for you, that is sin. You're going to hear me say this a lot. Anything for you that you think about or do that yourself is further away from God, for you, that is sin. That means it's not a clean list. That means it looks different for everyone, but its end result is separation from God. And sin means that this world is no longer the perfect, good creation God intended, and it means these physical bodies will die. And this is where the biggest risk factor of our condition to mortality lies. The greatest risk factor of mortality is remaining separated from God. Right? We are separated from God, and the greatest risk factor is if we stay that way. Think about it this way. If I said you were dying from eating carrots, you would probably dial it back on the carrots. Right? If I said, hey, you're dying because you're eating too many carrots, you'd probably say, okay, I'll stop eating carrots. Unless you had a weird affinity for carrots, and then you would say, what's up, doc? My point is, if there were an obvious solution for our condition, we would choose that solution, right? If it were that obvious, that's what we would do. But fear causes us to freeze where we are. Fear experiences death close to you, or has your pastor talk about death, and fear says, just, that's yucky. Just distract yourself. You could take your phone out and distract yourself the rest of the day. Or fear says, just ignore it, right? That's true for everybody else. You won't have to worry about that. Don't go to that funeral. Don't see the reality of death. Or fear says, well, may as well give in to all the desires. Doesn't matter anyway, right? May as well just do whatever I want. Or fear says, well, let's take aggressive control of our health and we will outsmart death. Right? Fear gets us caught up in unhealthy and unrealistic behaviors, and fear freezes us where we think we have some kind of control. And we're stuck there. But faith, on the other hand, frees us. Fear freezes. Faith frees us. Okay, so that's our condition. So let's talk about some treatment options. There's only one. And it is guaranteed. The guaranteed treatment against the condition of mortality is faith in Jesus. That's guaranteed. Verse 57 says, thank God. He gives us victory over sin and death through our Lord Jesus Christ. So I said, if there were a simple solution, we would take it, right? That's as simple as it gets. Faith in Jesus gives us victory over sin and death. Faith in Jesus sets us free from sin and the death it causes. Right? God so loved the world that he gave his only son that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Faith in Jesus is the treatment for mortality. And when you take the effective dose, which this says is to believe, then you are healed from sin and death. It is as simple as that. There are a lot of questions that you should have and that you should wrestle with, but it is as simple as that. Faith in Jesus Christ is life. It is freedom from sin and death. And I get it. You might have made some life choices that you carry around with you, right? You may have a past that you're ashamed of. You may have made some choices, or maybe you can't stop making a choice that leads you further and further away from God and deeper down a dark path, and now you are discouraged, or you are sick, or you are afraid, and you came here hoping for a miracle. You came here hoping for something that would do all the work for you. Maybe something that would give you healing and a better life. Maybe something that would prevent death. You came hoping for a miracle. And here it is. Faith in Jesus does all of that. Right? Jesus took on our sickness. He took on the things we hide, the things that we are ashamed of, the things that keep us awake at night, the things that make us want to escape. He took that on. He entered our separation from God on the cross, and then he gives us. He gives us victory over sin and death. Faith in Jesus is the treatment that gives life. It is as simple as that. It says, thank God he gives us victory. And I don't want to risk malpractice, so I'm going to fulfill my fictitious obligation and talk to you about the side effects of this treatment. Verse 51 says, let me reveal to you a wonderful secret. We will not all die, but we will all be transformed. For our dying bodies must be transformed into bodies that will never die. Our mortal bodies must be transformed into immortal bodies. So the side effect of faith in Jesus is transformation. Now these eight verses, if you really read them, they're wild. Like to really think about what all this means, it's a lot. So what does it mean to be transformed? No, not that kind of transformed. Let's think about it this way. Through the eyes of a Dallas Mavericks fan, it's been a hard season for our kind. We lost the heart of our team this year, Luka Doncic. My son Wyatt and I lost our best costume. So Luka was traded to the Lakers, and winning went with him. But lucky for us, I've got this. It's Luka's jersey. This is all we need, right? Right, the thing that we saw, it's all we need. Let's do, okay, Luka, go win some games for the Mavericks. Heads up, kids. That's why you pay attention in church. Sorry. So in several ways, that didn't work, right? It's not because I bought this on the street in Thailand for $4. That's not why. It's because this is just clothing. This is just clothing, right? It was the man who filled this that we need, right? And this, everything you see here, this is just clothing. That's all this is, right? It works in this world, but it gets beat up. It gets worn out. This body is just clothing, and it doesn't have a place in heaven. But with faith in Jesus, the soul that fills this body will live forever. So the transformation of faith in Jesus is a glorified body that will fit in heaven. Right? Our bodies, all of us, they're just shadows of this broken world, but they will be transformed into a body in heaven that will reflect the glory of God. Our bodies are buried in brokenness, but they will be raised in glory. They're buried in weakness, but they will be raised in strength. We will have a body in heaven, but it's not going to be one that hurts. It's not going to be one that's riddled with disease. It's not going to be one that deals with the consequences of our choices. It's going to be a body that's glorified and reflects the glory of God. Hallelujah. Okay, so I got to end our appointment. I'm very busy. I have lots of other patients. I got to end it with some guidance on how to live with our condition of mortality. And that comes from verse 58. So my dear brothers and sisters, be strong and immovable. Always work enthusiastically for the Lord, for you know that nothing you do for the Lord is ever useless. Through faith in Jesus, you have a hope beyond this world. So the way we live with mortality is we live in a way that hope is seen. You don't go to work to earn a paycheck. You go to work to honor God and to earn that paycheck as a benefit. Kids, you don't have to go to a Christian school, but you should live as a follower of Jesus at school, even if your school's at home. The kids are all like, it's summer, dude. Where are you? What are you talking about, school? But the grace God has shown you is the grace you should show your spouse. And you know what? Your neighbor, I'm not going to look at any of my neighbors. I'm not talking about them. Your neighbor is wrong. And you are right. But you've tasted God's mercy, so you let it go. Right? Having a hope beyond our mortal condition means that our life isn't broken into compartments. Right? We don't have faith and Sunday morning and that whole world over here, and then over here we have work and hobbies and school and that. No. Our hope means everything we do intentionally for God has eternal value. And nothing you do for the Lord will ever be useless. I mean, go in my doctor's coat and I'm gonna get my glasses and get serious here. Whoops, I got less serious. Sorry, I didn't mean to. Kids, can I have your attention for a second, even in the coloring corner? I want to say you guys are awesome. Like every week you're in here and you're engaged and I think you're learning. And I think we should just give our kids a round of applause. And I put on these silly glasses today because I want you to remember this lesson, right? I want you to remember when you know Jesus, you don't have to be afraid. I can't take myself seriously wearing those, but you don't have to be afraid. There are scary, hard things that will happen, but you can trust him and don't have to be afraid. So to help you remember that, I've got silly glasses for all of you. After church, come up and get a pair of silly glasses. Adults, I'm proud of you too. Most of you are on good behavior most of the time. And I try to put a lot of effort into making things memorable because there will come a day that your life will be headlong in tragedy. Right? It's one phone call away. And some days we come to church and we are encouraged and we feel good and we experience community and that's beautiful. And then some days we come and there's a sense of urgency. Right? What happens here is life or death. I don't mean to be dramatic, but it is. We will all be transformed. Right? There is an eternity awaiting us. And the hope, the life, is faith in Jesus. And you don't have to be afraid. Followers of Jesus can choose faith over fear, even when it comes to death. And you may feel like I made light of a serious subject today, and you would be correct. I made light of death because Jesus took its power away. Our text today mocks death. It says, death, where's your victory? It's scary, right? It is unknown. So for us here, it is scary, but it has no power. But for those of us here, death is hard. It's painful. And if you are mourning, if you're mourning the loss of someone you love, Jesus mourns with you. He wept when he saw his friends mourning death. Psalm 116 says, the Lord cares deeply when his loved ones die. It says, precious is the death of his saints. So death is painful and mysterious, but followers of Jesus don't have to fear it. The resurrection of Jesus is the end of death for all who believe. We can choose faith over fear, even in death. And Paul leaves no room for doubt about this. He states it as an indisputable fact. He says, in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. And he is the firstborn of a great harvest of all who have died. Through the resurrection of Jesus, death is swallowed in victory. Death has no victory. Death has lost its sting. Death is not a diagnosis we have to fear. Jesus has defeated death. He's been raised to life. And one beautiful day, all of his followers will be raised with him. Let's pray. And I want to, before we do that, I want to, we've been doing in this series, if you like to, you can just open your hands, you can keep on your lap, you can raise them, whatever you'd like, but it's just a demonstration that we are choosing faith, that we don't need to cling, especially to this life, right? It's a physical representation that our hands are open, that we trust God. So God, we praise you for who you are, the giver of life. The one who's taken victory from death, who has taken the sting away from death. Life is yours to give. So we open our hands, we release control. God, death is scary and it's mysterious. But what we cling to is this life that ultimately we really don't want. We want what you give. So we open it. God, and we do a few things. We receive your comfort. As we mourn death, as we mourn the loss of someone we love, we receive the comfort you give, and we acknowledge that you are in control and we are not. You are good, God, that you are faithful, and we receive the life you give. God, where there is doubt, help us to wrestle with it and use it to draw us closer to you. God, where there is faith, would you strengthen it? God, where there is loneliness, would you bring your presence? Where there's brokenness, would you make us whole? You do all this through your Son, Jesus, and it's in his name we pray. Amen. Could I get, if you have, if this stirs up things that you want to talk about or pray about, can I ask Steve Pontius, Stephen Molly, one of our elders to come up, and Chris Wilson, she's a leader of our prayer team, to come up. I'm going to go stand in the back. No, you know what? I'm going to go by that door. So if you want to talk, we can get out of this room. So, yeah, I'm going to go back there. So if you want to talk, if you want somebody to pray with you, we would love to do that with you. And during this last song, I'm going to invite you to take communion. The elements are up here, so during the song, you can come forward and get your elements, take them back to your seat, and take them. And what this represents is everything we've talked about today. Right, the bread that's in here represents the body of Jesus that was broken, that our brokenness could be made whole in him. And the juice that's in this cup represents his blood that has been poured out to wash us. It's a picture of transformation, that our bodies will be transformed because his was transformed. And his was broken so that we could be made whole. So God, we thank you for this gift and thank you that our hope in you is alive. Would you use this to remind us, God, of the hope we have in Jesus? Amen. So during this song, I invite you to just take a moment, pray, speak to the Lord, tell him how much you need what he's done for you. Take a moment in your mind to turn away from the things that we cling to in this life. To be reminded how rich and how deep this gift is, and then receive it.